what is being done is not by flesh and blood. Come on, guys. Look, just because you don't understand it, see, you don't know what is going on in somebody's life. You don't know the torment, the hurt, the wound that is there. If you were dying, you would do anything to get salvation, to get help, to get healing, to get the miracle. Our soul comes to the place to where that it can no longer abide within the confines of our own human flesh. And our soul begins to cry out, yes, I'll say yes. Because I've been saying no for too long. Yes, yes, Lord, yes. I'm not saying no any longer. I may not understand it, but Lord, I need a miracle. I need an answer. I need a resolve. I've gone as far as I can, and I'll say yes, Lord. I'll say yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes. I'll say yes. Oh, I'll say yes.
Yes,
yes,
yes.
Seems to be such a simple word. Yes. Three letters. But how many knows sometimes it takes a lot to get us to those three letters to say yes, Lord. See, I want you to understand that in all that we are, until you have experienced freedom, you can't judge anybody else. See, until you have been there and that you purchased that praise, that worship, because it's at a great price that it has been exacted from you. Are you listening to me today? So we need to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Amen. The children are dismissed. Amen. Turn around, shake two or three people's hands and say, I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're a part today. I'll do a couple things today. Number one, my desire is to get to a point in this message today, because I think that the Holy Spirit is shifting to something else for this month, and I want to bring to completion this part of the message on the principle of sowing and reaping. And we've been talking about a lot of the different principles of the kingdom, the principles of prayer, the principles of the word. What part, what position that it plays in our life. But this principle of sowing and reaping is imperative because I want to get to a certain place that God has put in my spirit today. Amen? And so I want you to pay close attention to what God is speaking to me. So I may be reading a little bit. I know that's out of the context of what I normally do, but I can't preach until I get to that point. And I can't preach until I finish and lay the foundation of what I want. Amen? And I don't want us just to hear something and through a flash and through light. I want us to hear the Word of God. Amen? How many knows that the Word is the one thing that will never pass away? Amen. Your emotions will pass away, but the Word will never pass away. See, God has brought us all together. We are not all the same. Turn to somebody and say, we're not all the same. Look around. Amen. Different shapes, sizes, colors. You come from different backgrounds, different religious backgrounds. Amen. You come from a bevy of different places, but God has brought you here. Amen. And He has called me to be the pastor over you. And so you hear and we listen so that we can grow. Our desire is that you would be discipled as a disciplined one in Jesus Christ and that you would be unmovable, amen, in your faith. Turn to somebody and say, I want to get to the place that my faith cannot be moved. Amen? And just because you say it, it's like going into, you know, it's like going into one of those places at the fair. What's one of those? It's not a haunted house. It's a, what is it?
House of mirrors.
Now it's a house of mirrors, but it's got all kinds of scary things. You go in and you know that you're about ready to go in, and you say to yourself, "Not afraid. I can handle this." Amen. But like somebody said, you know, nobody's afraid of losing until you get hit in the mouth. Right? And so we can say all day long that we're an overcomer, but until the enemy comes along and smashes you in the mouth with something, because he knows where our weakness is. But that's why that God has prepared us and said that even though the enemy comes in like a flood, I will raise up. That's what the apostle said. Even though the enemy comes in like a flood, I will raise up a standard against him. Come on. What is that standard? That is a standard of faith. And faith is not something, listen to me, faith is not something that is emotional. Faith is a state of life. It is a way of life. It is something that has been establishing you. That's why the apostle says, be established in grace. Be established in your faith. You have to be established. That is unmovable in it. And being unmovable means not to be able to be moved. Amen? We want to be unmovable, but we cannot be unmovable. Are you listening to me? If we're always moving. Amen? Moving our opinion. If God is bringing you in, you have to see your life as a believer, and you have to have that baseline. We all have a baseline of where we began. Do you remember where you began in your faith? Yeah. Amen. Is my mic working? Did it shut off? And I just didn't hear it in the back. Well, amen. I talk, you say amen. Amen. Is that the way it works here? Yeah. I talk, you say amen. 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 Is that too? I'm going to get to harder questions in just a little bit, so you got to be snappy on these easy ones right now. I said, how many of us remember where we started in our faith? Amen. We started in our faith someplace. But we all didn't stay there, did we? So we're coming down that line, and we thought, well, here we are, and we've arrived, and the enemy comes along and smashes us in the mouth. And when you're hit in the mouth, you don't fall forward, do you? When you're hit in the mouth, what happens? Anybody want to demonstrate? Come on up, and I want to demonstrate. Do I have any volunteers this morning? Amen. Any volunteers? Not a one. But if I hit you in the mouth, you're not going to fall forward. Amen. It's not like the movies, believe me. But if I hit you in the mouth, you're going to what? You're going to fall back. And that's what happens in the walk of faith. But we realize that he said, don't be weary in doing good. Why? Because the enemy is going about seeking whom he may devour. If you want to put it down in 20th century language, the enemy is going around smashing you in the mouth to see if he can stop you. Because I want you to know, in any kind of fight, you're going to become weary if you're not careful. That's why he said, our fight, our warfare is not against flesh and blood. That's why some of us are being wearied in our faith, because you're in the wrong fight. You're making your fight about something else, and that's not what the fight is about. The fight is not about you. It's about your faith. It's about the Word of God that's on the inside of you. And if he can destroy the word, if he can make you believe, he said to Eve, hath God really said this? Does God really mean that? God don't really mean that. That's not really what the word says. I mean, come on. He knows you. He knows you can't do that. He knows you. You're a little baby, and you can't do that. No, he does know you. I said he does know you. He knows you from the womb. He's had plans for you ever since you were born. But there is an enemy that has been after you. He is not after your car. Come on. The devil's not after your car. He's not after your house. He's not after your money. The devil's not sitting down in hell thinking to his imps, how can we get their money? How can we get their car? Quit trying to cast the devil out of your broke down car. Your devil's not leaving your car. He's not leaving your broke down whatever. What he wants to do is get down to your broke down faith. If you can build up your faith, God will give you a better house. He'll give you a better car. He'll give you better. Why? Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. Everything we receive is by faith. I said everything we receive is by faith. Now stop preaching with me. I got a point I got to make today. I need you to be more Presbyterian today. Are you hearing me? I said, are you hearing me today? He's not after your things. Oh, my shoe broke. Devil in my shoe. No, the devil's not in your shoe. Amen. You got to lose 20 pounds. The shoe won't break no more. Devil got into my washer. No, the devil's not in your washing machine. Amen? You didn't clean the lint trap out. I said you didn't clean the lint trap out. It's gone 30 years. You need to rejoice that it went 30 years with you. Amen? You don't have relationships that's went as long as some of your washing machines have. You need to be rejoicing in God today. Are you hearing me? The devil's not in your washing machine. He's not in your cars. He's not in those things. He wants to destroy the seed of God. He wants to sow seeds of doubt, seeds of confusion, seeds of bitterness, seeds of division in your life. Well, I'm trying to keep him out. No, you got to do more than to try to keep him out. You've got to stand vigilantly at the door of your life, at the door of your heart. You've got to begin to keep guard over the heart of your life and stand guard there and allow nothing to come into your life that'll destroy you and your family anymore. That nothing will be allowed in your life unless God is the one who's bringing it in. Come on, somebody needs to shout. Amen? God, the devil's not in any of that. Seriously. Well, I'm going to bind him out. Well, you can bind all day. See, this is doctrines that keep people struggling and running down rabbit trails. He loves for you to waste your spiritual energy. Amen? He loves for you to run down rabbit trails. If you're not careful, some of you get caught in your genealogies. Amen? Let God show you, but don't dwell there the rest of your life trying to research out. You know, my biggest problem when I study is I get to researching and all of a sudden I'm way off my thought and I'm 30 different thoughts down the road. All of a sudden, I'm searching, really studying. And all of a sudden, I'm like, why am I here now? Isn't that amazing? Well, the devil didn't do that. That's a propensity of my personality because I search knowledge. I really want to know what it means. But your life's not complicated. We make it complicated. We make it complicated because we are sowing things into our life and allowing things to be sown into our life. Amen? Amen. Are you with me? Pastor Karen says, I got 31 minutes and 26 seconds left. Galatians chapter 6 and 7. I'm not going to go through all the scripture. You can go online. I said you can go online and you can get all of these messages. Every one of them. And they're free. Jesus in heaven. Whose idea was that? Galatians 6. Amen. I'm not going to go through all the other scriptures out of Mark chapter 4. You've heard me talk in the last couple of weeks that this is a book of seeds. 66 bags of seeds. Amen. The word is a seed. The more word that you learn, the more word that you learn to apply to your life, to seed into your life. Amen. You want the word and the harvest word in your life to outgrow the seed of the past. Let me tell you something. Everybody, listen to me. Say this with me. Every harvest. Come on, say it. Every harvest has an end. P.S. As long as you quit sowing. But if you keep sowing into whatever you're harvesting, you're going to get a harvest. Say, why don't some of these things stop? Because you're sowing, or something is sowing into your life that is creating the harvest that you're having. It doesn't look. We live by the law of sowing and reaping. Amen? Well, if you're not a believer, if you don't believe, no, it worked. Let me tell you something. We don't have all Christian farmers. Amen. A hedonistic heathen can take a kernel of corn and throw it into the ground. Are you listening to me? And a believer next door can throw a kernel of corn into the ground and it's going to bring up corn. It's not sinner corn. It's not hedonistic corn. I'm not eating that corn because he planted that corn. The only difference is that that believer can pray over that, and the amount of his harvest can be greater than the heathen, but it's still going to bring up corn. The amount of the corn is going to be up to the one who is sowing. But listen to me, the law of sowing and reaping works. I know that in many of your churches and many places you came before, you've heard the negative of Galatians 6 and 7. Oh, you're going to sow it. Your old mama's told you that. You're going to reap what you sow. If you don't get away from that friend, if you don't get away from those influences, amen? The first time your mama caught you smoking, caught you doing wrong, how many has your mama used Galatians 6 and 7 on you? Raise your hand. Amen? Well, some of you missed a real blessing. My mama could quote 6 and 7 without saying a word. It was written in her eyes constantly. The morning after Galatians 6 and 7. Amen. Look at it. Galatians 6 and 7. I really want to get to this point today. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Now, what do you think that means? I'm going to tell you what it means. It means this. Just because you're not seeing the harvest in a situation right now doesn't mean there ain't going to be a harvest. Now, that works to the negative and to the positive. Are you all listening? If you're taking notes, God is not mocked. That is to the positive and to the negative. It means this. It means the problem is, and I'll probably repeat this, that in Genesis chapter 8, I think verse 22 there where he talks about the principle of seed, time, and harvest. Your King James makes seed time one word, but the truth is it's two words. It's seed dash time harvest. Everybody got that? Seed, time, harvest. We know that principle is correct because what? You plant the seed and then there is time and then there's a harvest. The problem is that many people don't realize they sow a seed and then time goes by. The time is not always in the natural, the same time frame as it is in the natural planting a natural seed. All he's doing is using the principle of seed time harvest. He's not using the same time frame. We know that if we plant in the spring, that by fall we're going to harvest. Here's how you interpret that. You don't interpret it literally. How you interpret it is a type and a shadow. That it is a metaphor. That is, there is a season to plant, there is a season of time, and there's a season to harvest. That means we don't know how long that time is. There are people, man, who have sown seeds that sold seeds 10, 20, 30 years ago. In fact, there are people who sold seeds for you. There was grandma and grandpas and great-grandparents that sold seeds for you. And the reason why you're sitting here today is some godly grandparent sold a seed of prayer for her children and her children's children. And that's why you're sitting here today. There is some godly person that sowed a seed. It may not even been a parent, but a spiritual person who saw something in your mama and your daddy. They may never got it, but the seed didn't die. Why? Because it's a God seed. And God's seeds don't die. God's seeds don't wither. Why? Because he said, the word that goes forth out of my mouth, it will accomplish in the thing that I sent it to do. It will not return unto me void. See, when God sows a seed, the problem is you keep going out and look at why isn't this happening? Why isn't this come yet? Why aren't they saved yet, Lord? Amen. You looked at that unsaved spouse or that child, you look at them, and the more you look at them, the more unsaved they look. Man, you're interceding, great drops of blood. You pouring out your heart to God about that need, and you look at the situation, and you're like, okay, God, where are you? Amen? It's in no different than you going out to the ground after you have planted and staring at the dirt. Well, maybe it needs a little bit more water. Yeah, good. Maybe it just needs a little digging around to clean up the weeds. Yeah, yeah, there you go. You're helping it. But you know what most people do? Most people become weary in doing good. And he said, if you don't get weary in doing good, in due season, this is what your Bible says, in due season, that word D-U-E means divine. In God's season, in God's timing, in God's season. Everybody say that, God's season. Everybody say in God's timing. Look at somebody and say, God's timing ain't always my timing. I know that's not good English. But look at somebody and tell them, God's timing is not always my timing. I want it to be my timing. I want God to do it. I want God to perform it. I want God to move into my life. But the more I look at the situation, it looks like nothing is moving. It's like watching paint dry sometimes. How many has ever felt that when you've prayed about something? It's like watching paint dry. Why? Well, number one is, we don't understand the full principle of sowing and reaping. Amen? All right, so here it is. Again, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. There's a positive and a negative to it. That so, whatever I have sown, God is not mocked. That works to the positive and the negative. That means that even though you have sown, no matter what the warfare, no matter how much the enemy is whispering in your ears, this is not going to happen. You're past your prime. You've done too much. You've gone too far. Amen? You've got too many marks against you. Oh, somebody needs to help me in here. Some of you need to be standing on the back of the chairs and shouting today. Amen? I can't. There's too much. The odds are too great against me. But God is not mocked. God is not mocked. God knows, and you need to know. Yeah, in the negative, I'm not going to bypass that. In the negative, it works. You think that it's going to. The problem with sowing seeds in sin is that, yeah, mama told me, but you know what? Nothing's happening. Nothing's happening. It's all good. I'm doing all right. I get to do what I want. I get to say what I want. I get to live the way that I want. And everything is good. Well, you need to understand something. That time is involved here. God is not mocked. You need to understand that the seed that you're sown, it's going to have a harvest. It's going to have a product. There's going to be an outcome. It's not in your time. It's going to come. And the truth is, you need to understand that when the harvest happens, it's never at a convenient time. The truth is the enemy wants you to get to that place to where he can get you up here. Because if he can get you to a higher place, he wants to get you to as high as he can. That's what drugs are for. They're to get us to a high place because he loves crashing us. The devil's perverted. Anybody know that? Your Father God is not. And so on the positive side, some of the seeds that you're sowing, well, I prayed and it didn't work. Well, how do you know? Number one here, here's what you need to believe. Is it the Word of God? Is the prayer that you prayed was the seed of God? You've got to hold to the Word. The enemy's coming along trying to convince you that Word doesn't work. That is not the... Yes, it is. If it's the Word of God, he said, this is the confidence I have. If I ask anything according to his will, he hears me. And if he hears me, he's going to answer me. You can't give up. I don't care what the circumstances told you, but it's been a long time. Of course. But in that length of time, God is trying to accomplish something. God's trying to deal with your attitude. God's trying to deal with something. Why? Well, maybe what God's trying to do is expand your barn for the harvest. You are looking at one harvest, and God's got a greater harvest for you. But you're going to give up and walk away just at the time the harvest. Can I tell you how many people have walked away the day before their harvest? I saw on the news the other day, I'm sure some of you have too, about the man who bought the lottery ticket, and he thought he only won $50,000. Well, he didn't look at the lottery ticket, and when he looked at the lottery ticket, and I'm not advocating lottery, so don't, I know some of you are religious, but can I use this as an example, lottery tickets? Well, that's a good example. But he takes the lottery ticket back. Can you imagine? He takes this lottery ticket, and he's as happy as a tick on a dog. I mean, he is happy, happy, happy. Honey, I won $50,000. And he walks up here, and the guy says, wow. And they give him $150,000. He didn't see on the ticket that he bought because he paid a dollar more. I'm not advocating you run out and start playing the lottery. Amen? I'm just telling you that things happen unexpectedly. He goes, and because he paid an, didn't even know. The guy behind says, hey, if you pay another dollar, oh, sure, go ahead. It's just a buck. And because of that $1, he won another $100,000. What he thought was going to be 50 turned out to be $150,000. See, some of you don't realize that it's a God seed that you are sowing. The God seed that you sowed. Some of you, can I tell you, some of you have forgotten the seed that you sowed a long time ago. And because of life and because of circumstance, you have forgotten that you sowed that seed. But I'm here to tell you, God hasn't forgotten the seed that you have sown. I say, God hasn't forgotten the seed that you have sown. Yeah, I know you've made a lot of mistakes between then and now. I know there's been a lot of potholes and there's been a lot of errors in your life. But here is the beauty of it all. He declares to us, His mercy is new every morning. God sees your life. Jesus didn't die on the cross for you to fail. He died on the cross, shed His blood, rose the third day. Why? So that you could overcome. So that you could learn to have victory in your life. Amen. Please let me get to my message today. I'm begging you, please. I'm begging you. Don't get me started. See, everything in life is the result of a seed. Think about it. Because everything is there because of a word or deed. So our whole life is the result of a seed. The foundation of the world were formed by the word or the seeds of God. God spoke it. He seeded and the earth came into existence. He sowed it and the moon came into existence. Don't you realize that you have been created in the image and the likeness of God? If you want those things to stop in your life, then quit speaking to them. If you want something to live, begin to speak the Word of God. Come into agreement with the Word finally. Don't dare. Look, you need to have your mind made up. I'm going to stand. Do or die, I'm going to stand in this promise. And I'm going to declare it. I'm going to watch over it. I'm going to water it. I'm going to live in it. I'm going to pray and ask God to declare to me when the harvest is going to be. But I'm not going to forsake the seed that I'm sowing. Amen. I declare to some of you right now that you're going to have a harvest of seeds that you've sown 10 and 20 years ago. Are you listening to me? Why is God going to do that, Pastor? Because He loves you. And because it's His Word. I said it's His Word. His Word is truth or it's not in truth. Come on. You think God just needs me to fulfill that word? No, ma'am. No, sir. It is His eternal word. The greatest thing is His oath and His promise. Are you listening to me? Look, that's immutable. I said it's immutable. It cannot change. It cannot change or be moved in our lives. So no wonder He wants you to be silent. Ever have anybody shut you down emotionally? Amen? It's a bully spirit. Whew. What was that? Whoa. It's a bully spirit. I said it's a bully spirit. Amen? If somebody's a bully, they can shut you down without even speaking. Amen? If somebody has a dominating nature, see, I have to constantly allow the love of God to overshadow me. I have to. See, I haven't been blessed. I haven't been blessed with, you know, it wasn't like in my DNA to be gentle and go with the flow. The problem with me is that you either love or hate me. There's just like no middle ground. I love it. People have middle ground with some, you know. Some people have, you know, they have that both, but then they have that middle ground. They can live it. I had to learn that. It's like either it's wrong or it's right. Black or white. No gray. And I wanted the whole world to be that. Well, guess what? The world is not all black and white. There are some gray areas. You say, oh, no, there is. There are some things, darling, you may think you have the answer for. But how many, if anything that life has taught you, the older you get, the things that you thought you were so sure about. Wait a minute. Now you're questioning. Oh, it's not to say that they're not true. I'm just saying that if you're not careful, you become weary in well-doing. Am I making sense today? I wish that it wasn't, but that's a bully spirit. Amen? Amen. You know, have you ever been in line and the person behind you, you know, in a checkout line, and it's full and they've been waiting for a long time? And all of a sudden you... And if they don't have a cart and they got a bag, you know, they got a big belly, they're like, what? You know, look, I can't go any faster than her. Bump me all you want. It ain't going to make anything move faster. But see, that's a bully nature. The person is angry and they're frustrated. So this is passive aggressiveness. And if I do this, it's a controlling nature. Say, I control by my attitude. I control by my silence. I control by my eyes. I control by the look of my face. Oh, you can sit there all you want. Amen. Act like you're Shirley Temple. But you ain't Shirley Temple and you know you're not. You may tell everybody else you've got cute little blonde curls and a little dimple or wherever the dimple is. Some of us got, we just all one big dimple. But you all know there's that part of you when you want your way, when you want that thing in your life, when you want to push it a certain direction. I want you to know you have to be careful of that, because that nature will get over into your spirit and you will become impatient. And so therefore you want to push the circumstance. You want to push the situation. That's why you got in debt. That's why you got in debt. That's why you're over your head. That's why you got into that relationship you had no business getting into. I'm not telling you to condemn you. I'm not trying to glorify the devil. I'm trying to educate you about the fool that is trying to ruin your life, that is trying to sow things into your life. It's time you stop. You're sowing seed, and you're sowing seed, and whatever you're sowing, that is the seed, and that is the harvest you're reaping, because you don't sow after some other kind. You always sow after the kind of seed you've sown. Amen? Everything in the beginning was created by the literal seed or the word of God. The celestial bodies, the sun, the moon, the firmament, bodies of water, the sea life, birds of the air, animals, everything that creeps upon the earth was created by the seed, the word of God. Then he declares to his greatest seed, man, and he declares that I'm going to create him in my image and after my likeness. And I just need to let everybody know, again, if you leave during service, you can't come back in to the main. We got chairs back there for you to sit. I'm sorry. Amen. But that's just the way it is. Anyways, not to be distracted, let me hurry back over here again. Amen. And so here, then he declares his greatest seed is man. I have created you in my image and likeness, and have given you dominion over all the fish of the sea. He gave him dominion over everything that he had. God blessed them and God said, be fruitful and what? Multiply. Multiply. And you can't multiply without sowing seed. Are you hearing me? What do you think the enemy wants to do? He wants to get you to the place to where you stop sowing. If you have financial problems, what do you think he wants to do? He's trying to bring you and empty your well, empty your bank account. Don't let him do it. Find a way to be able to give. Find a way, because you're not coming out of this without giving. You think you're going to outweigh it. You're going to wait till the cows come home. But honey, the cows are never coming. Look, this is not about me trying to gather money into the church. It is an issue and a problem. I'm not starving. There's not needs in our life to where we're desperate, sitting at home, wringing our hands and to say, oh God, what are we going to do for our next dollar to feed our family? It's not my responsibility. I've learned that if I give, God gives back to me, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. He will meet all of my needs according to His riches in glory by His Son, Jesus Christ. He said, well, it's never worked for me. That's because you've not waited long enough. If it doesn't happen after 2 weeks, well, when's it supposed to happen? In His time. Because God is trying to bring a definitive harvest in your life. Amen? All right, I'll stop. I'll move on. Let's stop here and say something to you today. Whether you are saved or unsaved, redeemed or still living under the curse of the law of sin and death, whether you are a hedonistic heathen or a saint of God, you are under the law of seed, time, and harvest. Like it, love it, hate it, believe it, or don't believe it, you, honey, you can call it karma, you can call it luck, but it's still seed, time, harvest. It doesn't matter. It's the law of God. God doesn't just reign on the righteous, Russell. He reigns on the unrighteous. Oh, yeah. That's why you look and you see, why is people being blessed? America doesn't even have enough sense. These fools don't even realize that the reason why this country is blessed is because the Church of Jesus Christ is still in this country. The reason why that socialism and communism and the heathens haven't completely overtaken is because the church is still here. The church is the only thing that's keeping this country sane. Do you hear what I'm saying to you? You need to understand, and you need to be busy getting on your knees and praying, and not only praying, but standing up and declaring that I am a believer and be the light that God has called you to be. Nobody can cut us off from seeding the gospel of Jesus Christ. Bernie or Hillary or Donald the Duck is not going to bring change to this country. The only thing that's going to bring change to this country is going to be the Spirit of God awakening this country back up again, that we are one nation under God, indivisible. That's the only thing that's going to work. Honey, I want you to vote. I want you to vote for the right person. And I want you to vote your heart and your spirit. But what I want you to know, your trust and your faith can be in no man. It must be in the one word, the one God, the one Lord, the one Spirit. Let's stop sowing into our foolishness. Let's stop sowing into religion. Let's stop sowing into the realities and the powers and the, look, we need to be more about what is it going to take to set folk free? What's going to set people free? What's going to set people free from their addictions, from the power? Some of you are here because you have marital problems. You have financial problems. Well, honey, I want you to know something. Religion couldn't do it before and it can't do it now. You need a reality check. Found in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen. Yes, it is a good word. Not because I'm preaching, because it's His word. Amen? We all live under the spiritual law of seed, time, and harvest. Even Satan, do you know that he's under the same law? He has been given perimeters and borders, and he can't move past them. And all the seed that he has sown, he's going to reap a disastrous harvest in his life. Are you hearing me? You say, well, Pastor, what about the seed that he has sown into my life? Then I want you to know something. No matter that you were a willing or an unwilling participant, that he came into the garden of your life and he sowed seeds. How many knows, Pastor, I left the door open. Don't raise your hand. I left the gate open. Okay, you left the gate open. Now what? The disciples came and asked Jesus the same question. Well, Lord, there's tares mixed in with the wheat. Do we need to go and uproot the tares? He said, no. Because if you're not careful, you'll pull up the wheat along with the tares. See, don't try to pull up the problems in your life. Just outlast it with a greater harvest of the good in your life. See, some of you constantly dwelling on the problem and the issue. You're dwelling on the problem. The enemy wants you to focus. Amen? It's like going in the mirror and seeing a pimple on the end of your nose. How many knows, the more you go back to the mirror and look at the pimple, you know, that started, like, you know, it took a magnifying glass to, what is that? Oh, it's a pimple. By the time you go back the fourth time, it's like, it's covered my whole face. No, it's not covering your whole face. It has invaded your imagination. What you need to realize is this. You're not going to overcome the issue by staring at it and focusing on it. Acknowledge it, saying it's there, and then what you must do is this. Start sowing different seed. Because look, whatever you sow, you reap. Amen? I'm going quickly now. I'm jumping way ahead. You can't keep up with me. I'm too fast for you. Number one, we reap only what has been sown. We reap only. I'm going to give you three real quick. We reap only. These are not all. I'm just going to give you three today. We reap only what has been sown. Ephesians 5, 15 and 18 says, there, be careful how you walk. Turn to somebody, say, be careful where you're going and how you're walking. Not as unwise men, but as wise. In verse 16, he says, making the best of your time. Are you hearing this? If you're going to sow seed, amen? Look, I had one rule about working. How many wants to know what it was? I had one rule about working. If I'm going to work, I'm going to get paid for it. No. I'm not just going to get paid for it, but I'm going to get paid the best that I can get paid for it. You would say, well, you need to be satisfied with what you've got. Look, we ain't talking about in the church. We're talking about secular people. If you're going to ask me to do a job, I'm not going to make you pay outside the confines of my gifts and my talents. But I paid an enormous price for the knowledge. And when I realized that I had something that somebody didn't, that makes me a commodity. I'm not bragging. But some of you have gifts and talents and abilities, and you're wasting them on people who don't appreciate you and people who are not paying for you. I want you to know something. God wants you to come alive and awaken yourself to the futures of your life. There are innovators. There are people here who have witty and creative ideals. You have minds that God wants to awaken and awaken you so that you can begin to bring forces of money into your house so that you can establish the covenant of God. I know an individual right now. He's 50 years old. And he has sown so many seeds into his life. He's worked harder at trying to get out of work. That's exhausting. You know? He's one of those people, man, that if, like, he's putting in a plug in your house, and you ask him to put a plug in the house, everything is an effort. I mean, he put a plug in my house, and I'm laying over on the couch taking a nap. I'm exhausted. He has gifts to do everything. Plumbing, heating. He is a skilled carpenter, a finished carpenter. He can make furniture. I'm not talking about any of the guys here, okay? This person lives in another state. And has skills unbelievable. And today, because he complained and looked and sowed seeds of sickness into his life and believed this about his own life, that, listen to me, before he was 50 years old, he was diagnosed with a heart condition. And all of a sudden, it was like a revelation from heaven. I have a reason now. I have a reason now. And guess what? He's living in the basement of somebody's house, and he has all the gifts and the talents of the world in his hands, and he is broke. and he's happy. I got a chair. I got a TV. I got a car to drive. I'm happy. Can I tell you, make the best of your time. That's what we were doing with those young people last night, teaching them. Why, there's older people in this church that could outwork some of the younger ones here. Amen. They may have to go and soak for 3 hours once they get home. But they'd never tell you. Do you hear me? You know the reason why I can help my kids? Is because I learned to be wise with my time and my resources. Let me tell you something. I am 63, aren't I? Somewhere in the mid-60s. And I can tell you right now, if I had to go out tomorrow and find something, if I had to go out tomorrow, that's why I never let this church be my source of income. God is my source. That's why I can preach faith to you. That's why that my heart is always clear. That's why it's always concise to tell you that you need to be about and be wise in your time, in your energies, in your efforts, and know that God has blessed you. Look, if God has blessed you with a bright mind and a quick mouth, then God has given that to you for a reason. If God has given you the ability that everything you touch, it prospers. God wants to change your circumstance. Begin to sow after the gifts that are in your life, your talents, your abilities. Don't be enslaved to another man. Let God raise you and prosper you in a completely different way. Amen? God, this is good. What? Am I done? Making the best of your time, because the days are evil. So then, don't be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation. That's squandering your time and your energies. But be filled with the Spirit. Why? Because the Spirit of God is the wisdom of God. Amen? Number two, we reap the same in kind as we sow. You can look in Genesis 1, 20 through 24. It always reaps after its kind. But here is number three. We reap in a different season than we sow. Do you hear me? You will sow. And when you sow, you don't always reap in the season that you sow. Do you hear me? Seed, Genesis 8 and 22, what did I say? Seed, time, harvest. The harvest never comes immediately after the planting. Wise in what we sow. Galatians 6 and 9, and let us not lose heart in doing good or sowing good seed. Or in due or divine timing, we shall reap if we do not grow weary. We can't rush the laws or the timing of God. Are you hearing me today? Sow, and whatever you sow, look, if you need something, wouldn't it be wonderful that God would bless you to the place that you'd be able to give your car away? God said, give it away. I need a new car, Pastor. Why would I give my car away? I'm not telling you to go out and get your car away. I'm telling you, wouldn't you want to be blessed to the place? And it could be right before that place that God wants to bless you. You've been holding on to it, trying to get the very best, but God has something better for you. But we think if I hold on to anything long enough, it'll be enough. No, it's not always enough. What is God saying to you about your gifts and your talents, your abilities? You feel so limited. You feel so restrained. You feel like you've been stolen from. Like you have nothing, and it's a lie. You have everything. What do you mean, Pastor? You have everything. Amen? I didn't realize
how that. And can I tell you something? God could be having you do something, and He's just trying to teach you to be faithful. He's just trying to teach you to be faithful to something. And you have a dream of something, but God said, you know what? You need to learn to be faithful. I had a brother-in-law who was an habitual liar. He was a professional liar. He could lie and you know he was lying and you still believe him. He could lie so well that God even doubted sometimes whether he was lying or not. But you know what he would always talk about? Someday. You know, someday I'm going to have this car. He'd have pictures. And I'm going to have this car and I'm going to have this house. And I'm going to have this land and I'm going to have this and I'm going to have that. But he couldn't even get up and go to work. He had plenty of magazines. He had all kinds of pictures. He had his imagination. But he didn't have discipline. I'm going to start a lawn mowing business. You can't even keep your own lawn mowed. Well, I'm going to start a carpenter business. And every time somebody comes to your door falls down. Well, I'm going to start a healthcare business, you know, watching over people. I don't even want to get into that. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you? See, you may be in a place right now. What you have to do is you got to pray and say, God, why am I where I am? See, don't walk around like, well, yeah, life's great. And off to work I go. Making my $8.36 an hour. Why are you where you're at? There's nothing wrong with $8.36 an hour. I've made a lot less. And God still blessed me. I told some people the other day, and they were like shocked. I know what it is to clean toilets and to sweep floors and to pick up trash. I've worked in after-hour bars as security, and a bouncer. Get off about 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning and go preach the gospel. Of course, I preached to all those other people during the night hour. Those are some real. You want to know what wicked people are? Go to an after-hours bar. But oh, the harvest is plenty. Are you hearing me? See, don't think you always know me. You don't. I paid a price for who I am. The message I preach is not a message to impress you. It is a message to challenge you. And it's a message to tell you you're never limited and you're never short. No matter who you are, how old you are, you're never without resources and the ability to change your life. You're holding on to your addictions and holding on to the issues of your life, and you think those things are going to resolve your problems. Honey, I've been down that road thinking drugs and addiction and alcohol and illicit problems in my life and addictions in my life were going to resolve. But honey, when it's over with, there's nothing left. You're still left with your emptiness. You're still left with the problem and the issue. If you want to change, you've got to sow a different seed. How many would say, Pastor, through this series, I realize, man, I have sowed into some really bad places, but I'm done with it. I've been awakened, and I'm going to start sowing into different ground. I'm going to start sowing different seed in my life. But my caution is what to you? Don't be weary in well-doing. Amen? Wait, for in due season, if you faint not, you will reap. Amen. Stand with me. Not too long ago, in my mind, I was in a horrible, horrible place. I was in a church that the pastor resented me. And every time I come to service, he resented my gifts and my abilities. And no matter how much I loved him and I took care of him and promoted him, he hated me the more. And God would make me. No, I'm telling you, God would make me like him. I cannot tell you how many times I had objects in my hand like screwdrivers and I just like... I'm not going to kill myself, but I don't mind, you know. I will bury you in this, underneath the basement of this church. Just nobody will ever know. In fact, a lot of people will be glad you're gone. But God said, Mark, I'm going to have you sow into this Saul's life. I'm going to have you sow into these rebellious people that are here. We're the most rebellious, stiff-necked people. Never listen to any instruction. I mean, you would tell them left, they would go right. You tell them up, they would go down. You would counsel the mess this week, and they'd be back in two messes the following week. And Mama, tell you, I was faithful in teaching and discipling. And I got disciples. I out of that hard ground, I got disciples. And God gave me a dream, a vision. And he showed me a people. I'd never seen these people before. It wasn't the church I was in. It wasn't the church I was in. But when I looked and I saw these people, I saw a group of people of every color, of every size, and of every age. And I looked down and I saw a man with jeans and a pair of cowboy boots. And the first day I got here and I stepped out of my car and I opened the door and put my foot on the ground, I looked out and there were those cowboy boots. When I was in that hard place and everything in me said, curse him. Tell them what he's really like. Tell them of his lifestyle. Tell them how that he preaches one thing in the pulpit and he goes back into his office and he talks and he runs and ruins all the people. Open your mouth and tell them. Tell them. Tell them. I'd hear that voice in my ear. Tell them. Reveal him. But I'd hear the voice of God in my heart say, no. And even when he stood in the pulpit, are you listening to me? In front of the whole church and fired me. Fired me. Karen was upset. Steve was like, I'm going to go rip his head right off his shoulders. My kids will tell you, my wife will tell you, a holy calm came over me. And God said, it's okay. Because how you finish this is how you're going to start the next phase of your life. And God said, so, and I did. And I stood and I reconciled, even though everything in me said not to reconcile. But I reconciled in front of them. And even great leaders stood and was amazed. And it wasn't me, it was the Spirit of God. My wife will tell you that my nature wanted to clean house. My nature wanted to rip his arms off of his body and beat him with them. Everything in me. But the Spirit of God said there's something greater here. There's something more powerful. There's something more worthy. This is not what it seems. This is not what you think. And I'm saying this to you because some of you are in circumstance that's greater than you. And everything in you is screaming to do the very opposite. And I am declaring to you today that God has something greater. Don't become weary in your well-doing. God has a great harvest for you. And I know you've been in the same place sowing and working and believing. And God is saying, don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. It'll be worth it. Because every day of my life that I get up, I know you hear me say it all the time. She's the woman I get up to every morning. And she'll tell you, she's never one time ever heard come out of my mouth, "Gotta hate that church. Those people." Not one time. Every day I get up and I'm thankful. You don't think every time that I get behind this pulpit and know and watch you grow, watch you change, watch this church fill up. And it's all because, Jim, it's all because, even though I never met you, never knew you, but God had you in mind. God had me in mind for you. My God, how great is God? How great is God? How good is our God? How wonderful is our God? How marvelous in all of His ways? Oh, how beautiful and majestic are you, O Lord. Oh, you are so good and righteous and kind to us, O God. We are so thankful, Lord. Even though we don't understand and we don't know, if you're not careful, see, God wants to reveal your future to you. But you look at it and you think, it's too bright, it's too big, it's too wonderful. Is it? Your future is not too big. It's not too beautiful. God would say to you, dream. Dream on. Oh, I wish I could sing right now. Dream on. Dream on. Come on, dream on. Dream on. Don't stop believing for your marriage. Don't stop believing for your children. Don't stop believing for your finances. Don't stop believing for this county. Don't stop believing for this church. Don't stop believing for us. Don't stop believing. Dream on. Amen. You're still alive. There's a lot of dreaming on the inside of you. There's still a lot of vision on the inside of you. There's still a lot of strength on the inside of you. Don't give up. Don't quit. Don't stop. Your life is not your own. You've been bought with a price. Don't stop dreaming. If you stop dreaming, Brian, you're dead. Don't stop dreaming about your vision, man. It's not always the will of God for you to be traveling. God's given you great gifts, great abilities, great talents. He's called you from a dark, terrible place. But God has raised you up. He wants to bless you. Why? Because God knows He can trust you with wealth. You'll give it to the nations. You'll give it to the poor, the hungry, the naked. Don't let the enemy take your dream from you. And Gwenny, I don't care what time it is. This is more important than time. It's more important than my feet. It's more important than your lunch. It's more important than today. It's about the future of thousands. It's not just about us. It's about our children. It's about our babies. It's about our grandbabies that'll stand in this house and they will declare and say, our forefathers gave this to us. They will feed the nations. They will borrow from none, and they will lend to many. That's right. Your children and your grandchildren. You say, well, Pastor, I don't have any children and grandchildren in this church. That's not true. Every child, every offering that you give, every dime you give into this house, right now, they're sitting right back here. And there are apostles and pastors, teachers, doctors, lawyers. Do you hear me? Because you're changing the curse. You're changing the flow that's in your life. And you're sowing different seeds. And your children and grandchildren would be different. And they don't have to pay the same price that you paid. It's not just about us. It's about our future. If your children are not here, then sow into the children of this church. If your grandchildren are not here and they're not safe, then sow. Sow. But sow. So that you will what? Reap. Turn to somebody and tell them now. Nah, you're going to have to give me some space. I got a harvest coming. I got a harvest coming. Come on, turn to them and say, you need to enjoy some of the empty spots here. It's going to get crowded around here real quick. It's going to get crowded around here real quick. Are you hearing me? I said it's getting crowded around here real quick. The windows of heaven are opening. God's about ready to pour us down something that we can't contain. Oh, yes, Father.